And Lou, we pray that you would give all the wisdom and patience and strength and understanding that they need. Father, send your blessing upon this family, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'd love to give you a little Bible from us to Chloe. She won't be able to read it just yet, but you can start reading it to her. Thank you. God bless you. I always say to mums and dads on occasions like this, is there some particular song or hymn you would like to sing? And Ben and Lou came back straight away saying, Amazing Grace. Lou sings this one to Chloe when she can't get to sleep. So we'll see how good your singing is this morning. Let's stand and sing it together. Sit down. Plenty of grace to go around for all of Chloe's days to come. And we thank God for that. And thank God for her too. Going to invite those who are going out to their different groups to make your way there now. If you're here as a guest with children and they'd like to join in, just follow the crowd and someone will show you where you need to be.
Great, over to me, I think. We're going to carry on singing, so please do stand as we continue worshiping together.
We wait upon. You reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow. Take joy.
Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Do please sit down. I'm going to ask Kim to come and read to us now, and then Jonathan will come and preach. Thank you both.
Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 17, and entitled Correcting an Abuse of the Lord's Supper. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I have received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regards to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you shall all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions.
Good morning. Great to be here. For those of you who don't know me, nice to meet you and all that. I'm Jonathan Edwards. I'm a Baptist minister, but not the real minister here. I'm a member of this church, and I serve the Lord largely in other places. Thank you for praying for Eastleigh Baptist Church at the moment, where we're interviewing three candidates for ministry this month. You might care to think of us in that. And Waterlooville, where I've just started working, where I was last Sunday. Please pray for us as we work through a generous range of challenges, I think is the polite way of putting it. But great to be here. Absolutely, Graham. Such a privilege, such a lovely privilege to be here on this happy day as we celebrate with Ben and Lou and family and friends, which is brilliant, and little Chloe. So, and in a moment, we're coming to renew our covenant at the communion service. So lots of really big things happening, and we're still aware that the new year is not that old, and we're reflecting on new things and what the Lord is wanting to do this year. So it's that word covenant that's in our mind. Many of you will know that I was called to ministry when I was 19. And when I was 19, I was studying law. For many years, I'd wanted to study law, and I got there, and it was really, really interesting. I just discovered it wasn't what God wanted me to do with my life. But what I learned from that, I was really grateful that during that year, the first part of the degree, I did my contract law, which has stood me in good stead, not because it hasn't changed since then, but because it's just alerted me to the fact that contracts are everywhere in life, not just things you sign, but there are lots of implied contracts really in everything that you do. When you get on a bus, when you go and see a film, whatever you do, there are contracts all over the place. And this morning we're thinking about contract, that word, contract, in a very special sense. Many of you, well, anybody who knows me will know that I am a collector, and I belong to a long line of collectors. My father was a collector of all sorts of things. My grandfather, stories of him as a collector. I love old, interesting things. This is an old, interesting thing. This is a contract. This would have been in the story box if the children had been around. This is from 1806. I mean, this is serious stuff, isn't it? It really mattered. The fact, isn't that wonderful? Celebrate the fact. 2 centuries later, it looks as good as that. Isn't that staggering? The sum involved was massive, £5,200. I mean, that was mega money at the time. Probably millions now. A contract, serious stuff. But all this kind of contract is horizontal. It's a contract between two people or a group of people. Noises like that are entirely appropriate. Disturb his lights, but do as you will. Horizontal, just between two different things. And it's interesting to think that this obviously has absolutely no relevance to anybody or anything now. It's done its job. Bless it. I want for a moment to talk about the covenant that we have with God, which has a horizontal dimension, and we'll do that in a moment. I want to do the vertical bit first, that God has taken the initiative in wanting to have a relationship with us, his people. And look through the whole of the Bible, and you will find that God has taken the initiative. We think of Noah, don't we? Genesis chapter 9. After the flood, God makes a covenant secured by the rainbow, and in which God commits himself not to flooding the earth in the same way again, but also to a committed relationship to people, and in exchange, people had to take care of their relationships and with the animal world. Genesis 15, we meet Abraham as he enters into a particular relationship with God. We go on, we meet Moses, the Mosaic covenant, Sinai and all that, the Ten Commandments, and then the establishment of the law based on God's ability to forgive people as they were obedient to him in following through with a sacrificial system, elaborate sacrificial system. But as the Old Testament goes on, the story of covenant's still there. We meet through Jeremiah this idea that God's real desire is not just to have a relationship with people through law. He wants a real warm relationship, a relationship written on people's hearts. Here in our passage that Kim's just read to us, we come to Jesus speaking about what we talked about, Paul relating what Jesus said about the Lord's Supper. The only service that Jesus left us. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus never said, would you like to have a morning service, a family service, or an evening service? But he gave us the communion service. This was so important. And here Jesus talks about the new covenant, which has been sealed by his blood. So it's part of the story that we saw tracing back to Noah, God wanting to have a relationship with us. But that's the key point, and I really want to emphasize that. God has taken the initiative. When you hear people give their testimony, which is always wonderful, but at times it can get the impression that we've done God a real service, you know, because we've taken the initiative in coming to God. Well, bully for you, but long before you even had the ability to think, God loved you. That's the point. God took the initiative. That's why I love services of dedication. I think it's just a brilliant moment. Because Chloe, bless, clearly highly intelligent, but doesn't understand what we're doing. Her theological understanding is deficient at this moment. Won't be forever. But her understanding of the world and all around. But we are celebrating the fact that though she doesn't understand those things, God loves her. God loves her. That's how it is. God's taken the initiative. You will know my love of the expression, prevenient grace. The grace of God that comes before. We celebrate the prevenient grace of God this morning. That he came before Chloe had the opportunity to make any response. And each of us, God's love and grace have come first. I know what happens in the minds of many of us when we hear about God's love for us. We instinctively think, that's awkward. That's really difficult. Because, wow, I'm just so unworthy of that. Can I just affirm before you all this morning, you are unworthy. You're totally unworthy of God's love and grace. I am totally unworthy of God's love and grace. It's just what he chooses to do. We can never be worthy of it. All we can do is receive it as a gift. This is all about gift, the Lord's Supper. Jesus dying on the cross for us. It's a gift. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves worthy. I just ask you the question, and because I don't know all of you by any means, I ask you this question. Have you received the gift? It's a great question to ask at the beginning of this new year. Have you received the gift? God's taken the initiative. He said he wants you. He said he wants to live life with you. He wants you to be part of his life forever. He wants that. The question is, are you willing to receive it? I've just had a major 50th anniversary, a really big one, 9 days ago on the 4th of January. We had the 50th anniversary of a major road accident that I and my family were involved in on the London Arterial Road, that some of you will know, on the way to Southend. Pea super, an expression that's gone out these days, hasn't it? But dense fog. Lots of accidents had happened that day. A huge pile-up had happened just in front of us. My father was an excellent driver, so we knew we wouldn't have any problems, but we were stationary, and a black Humber Hawk, that some of you will recall, came ploughing. Others of you have been to museums and will have seen it, but this great big thundering car came into the back of us and concertinaed our little Ford Cortina. All six of us got out alive. We praise God for that. Gave me a back condition, which I've lived with since. I was obviously very young at the time, please. But I had a dream that, and I was 12. I had a dream that night, which is an entirely reasonable dream, that we'd all died. And that as a family, we'd gone to heaven together. It was a comforting dream. It was a lovely dream. I woke up the next morning and thought to myself, is that true? Is that true? Would I have gone to heaven? And that day I wanted to clinch it and did clinch it and said, no, well, whatever I might have said before, I want to clinch it now. I'm committed to this journey. I want to be on Jesus' side. I want to live for him. All of us have different stories to tell. That's my story. It's not a sort of standard story. You know, we all come to God in different ways. The key thing is that we've clinched the moment. We've said, Lord, we want to be part of this covenant. We want to receive your love and live in obedience to you. And if you have taken that step, as I know many, many of you have, I hope you've also taken the step of being baptized, of saying to God, and for those of you who may, I don't know, come from other church streams, let me just say, what we do in this dry thing, dedication is we look forward to a wet thing. We look forward to baptism. So we don't christen, we don't baptize infants in this church, but we look forward to the moment when they'll come here, and under the floorboards we have a tank which we can fill and have a service of baptism to say, the moment that Chloe chooses, if she does, that she will walk with Jesus for herself. That's the crucial step on that journey. If you've taken that step, and many of you have taken it, as I did many, many, many years ago, I was 13, if you've taken that step many years ago, then I would say to you as you come to the table this morning, renew your covenant. Take this moment to renew your covenant. And we'll be using those wonderful words from the Methodist renewal covenant. Let me just remind you of them. You'll be saying them shortly. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. Wow. But that's what it's about. And there's no question, for all of us, we get distracted. We have other agendas running, and we need to come back to those words and just remind ourselves of what it means really to be in covenant relationship with God. Life changes, doesn't it? Life changes so much. The circumstances of life, our jobs change, relationships change, our bodies change, for heaven's sake. You know, the whole thing is changing around us. We need these moments of renewal. So I encourage you to really take this moment seriously. Take these words home with you. I know you've got them, but take them home with you and live with them. And daily we need that renewal. Daily we need to hear from God. Daily we need to be praying. I commended these to you a few weeks ago, and I do again. Voice of Hope. If you don't have any Bible notes, anything to guide you day by day, take one of these. They're free, produced by Premier. They're really good, and I know many people find them very helpful. They're on the table outside, so you have coffee. Love you to do that. Or read through the Bible, whatever you're doing. I know I've mentioned to you the blessing last year was to me in using the Bible in 1 Year app. There are other such apps, but with Nikki Gumbel, I just was so blessed. Do a huge amount of driving, just drip, 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 drip of scripture, just day by day receiving the word of God. I commend it to you. So that's the vertical. Let's do a bit on the horizontal for a moment, the horizontal covenant, because the moment we come into a relationship with God, immediately in that moment we're in relationship with other people. A very precious part of the Baptist story of over 400 years that we've had Baptists in this country, covenants have been formed since the very beginning, and some key expressions are found in many of our covenants, and it's this: that it's our duty to walk together and to watch over one another. Beautiful expression. To walk together and watch over one another. It's what we do as the life of the church here. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul talks about these things within the context as he presents what the communion service should look like. He talks about it within the context of relationship with other people. So what's the next chapter? 1 Corinthians 12. Where we're talking about the life of the body of Christ, the church. And what's he saying there? He's saying everyone, bar none, everyone is crucial to the body. Everyone has a part. There are no small parts in the body of Christ. Everyone has a crucial role to play. There's no go-it-alone Christianity in the New Testament. You just won't find it there. You meet, don't you, fairly frequently, people who will say, oh, I can worship God perfectly well in my garden. And I think that's a very touching tribute to their garden. But you just can't do it, sadly. You can, of course, you can worship God in your garden. But you can't enter into these horizontal relationships that God wants us to. We need one another. We need the encouragement. We need the gifts. We need the perspectives that we differently bring to one another. Going it alone, Christianity is not God's calling for us. So in this new year, I encourage you to recommit yourself horizontally, to recommit yourself to the people sitting around you or in other churches, wherever you happen to be. They need you. They need your love. They need your care. They need your encouragement. They need your listening. They need whatever gifts you have to contribute. And I encourage you very much in this new year to get into good rhythms. We live in a society where it's very difficult, I know it's very difficult, to maintain the regular rhythms that are so important. To be at church every Sunday is really difficult. I know it's impossible for some people, but we need Sabbath. We need time set aside for God. I thank God for the Keep Sunday Special campaign of many years ago now. We still need to keep that campaign going. We need to keep Sunday special. That whatever we do with it, and I'm not going to become prescriptive, I nearly said, like my parents, let's not go there. But we lived with rules about what Sunday looked like. I'm not going there. What I'm saying is we need to keep Sunday special. Why? Because we need that rhythm of restoration and renewal as we live for God day by day. Let me go back to this for a moment. I mean, it is impressive. It's really impressive. I mean, if you received something on this basis, with those seals at the bottom and all of that, you'd really feel you'd come into something important, wouldn't you? But the truth is, this is worth flipping nothing now. This is past its sell-by date. It's not worth anything. The covenant we're talking about this morning and renewing at the Lord's Supper is forever. It's forever. It never goes out of date. So let us come towards the table. Let us look to the Lord together. I'm going to lead you in prayer, and then we'll sing as we come to the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father, we want to say thank you. Thank you that you have taken the initiative. Thank you that every one of us here this morning is loved by you. Whatever our background, whether we normally go to church or never go to church, you just love us. It's how it is. And we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you welcome us to yourself today. Unworthy as we definitely are, you welcome us into relationship with you. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll hear us as we make our declaration to you, as we recommit ourselves to you, but also as we recommit ourselves to one another. Lord, we pray that we may be more loving, more caring, more inclined to walk together and watch over one another in this new year. Bless us, we pray, Lord, and may your words live for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Jonathan. Please do stand as we sing together.
Glorious name. could be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Please sit down. You should all have had one of these pieces of paper with a covenant on it. If you haven't, can you cozy up to someone who has so you can see one? And thank you to Jonathan for explaining so clearly what this is all about. Let me read it to you. In the old covenant, God chose Israel to be his people and to obey his laws. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by his death and resurrection, has made a new covenant with all who trust in him. We stand within this covenant and we bear his name. On the one side, God promises in this covenant to give us new life in Christ. On the other side, we are pledged to live no more for ourselves but for him. Today, therefore, we meet expressly as generations have met before to renew the covenant which bound them and which binds us to God and to each other. By this act, we commit ourselves to God and to his work in this new year just begun. In the midst of much uncertainty, we make this certain commitment to him and to each other. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, for starting this in the first place, we thank you. For beginning this from your very heart, for seeking us out and telling us that you love us and offering us this relationship with you, we give you our thanks. May we take it to heart and soul, and to do so with great sincerity, we pray. Amen. Beloved in Christ, let us respond gladly to our covenant God and take the yoke of Christ upon us. To take the yoke upon us means that we are content that he appoints us our place and work, and that he himself be our reward. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, some are difficult. Some bring honour, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and material interests, others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is given by Christ who strengthens us. Therefore, let us make this covenant of God our own. Let us give ourselves anew to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace, come what may. And at this point, I invite you all to stand, please, if you would. And if and only if you are happy to make these words your own, then I invite you to say them with me. Lord God, Holy Father, since you have called us through Christ to share this gracious covenant, we take upon ourselves with joy the yoke of obedience, and for the love of you, engage ourselves to seek and to do your perfect will. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. You are my covenant friend, and I, through your infinite grace, am your covenant servant. Do please take a seat as we put the seal on that, as we share bread and wine together. And so we remember how during the last night of his on earth, Jesus sat around the table with his friends. And during the meal, he took some bread. He gave thanks and he broke it, saying to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying to them, "This is the cup of the new covenant sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you." Before we share the bread and wine, let's give thanks as he did. Father, for such a profound love expressed in such a simple way, we thank you. For this moment where we reach out to grasp a hold of your promise and your loyalty towards us. Father, we thank you for all that it cost, and we ask that you might bless this bread and this wine to us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you seek to serve him, please do take the bread and eat it as you receive it. When you receive the wine, please hold on to it and wait for others to be served, and then we'll drink together, remembering perhaps these people that God has placed on the journey with you, the ones who walk alongside you, for whom we're so grateful. Let's pass these out now. drink knowing that the blood of Christ has set you free, and be thankful.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Father, how good it is to be gathered here together as a family, belonging to you, bringing to you our cares and concerns for one another. We thank you again for the joy of new life, for Chloe, and for all the babies, children, and young people who are part of our family here. Please protect them, inspire them, guide them in your ways. Help us to nurture, encourage, support them, and show them your love always. Father God, we bring to you those we know who are unwell, in hospital or at home, praying for them effective treatments, healing, rest and recovery. And this morning we pray particularly for David Pawley in the Royal Berkshire Hospital, and for Beattie and the family, asking for your peace and reassurance. We continue to pray for Jane Billington, for Richard Westall, and for others we know who are living with long-term medical conditions or ongoing health concerns. As they face the challenges of each day, please give them strength and courage, and may they be aware of your presence with them, your love surrounding and sustaining them. We thank you for the families and friends who so lovingly and faithfully care for them. Please keep them well, and give them wisdom, the strength, the patience, the energy, and the rest that they need in the coming days. We pray this morning for any who are struggling, feeling worried or anxious, who are fearful about the future or uncertain of the road ahead. We ask for them your clear guidance and calm direction, and that trusting in your love and purposes, they may find a hope renewed. We remember before you all those who have been recently bereaved, who are mourning and grieving the love of a lost one. Father God of mercy and unfailing compassion, in their sorrow, grant them your peace and comfort them with the comfort that only you can give. Almighty God, our Father, how good it is to be gathered here as a family together, belonging to you and to each other. Help us to be constant in our encouragement and steadfast in our care and support for one another, showing your love always. Help us to watch over one another and to walk forward together with you, relying today, as always, on your amazing grace and trusting in your great faithfulness. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Di. In a moment, we're going to sing our last hymn, and as we do so, we're going to take up an offering for the wonderful Livability charity that helps people to live in community in all kinds of different ways. But can I just say a word to those of you who are balancing a little person on your knee, and you seriously thought they were going to be quiet the whole time? They never were. And I cannot exaggerate how delighted we are that you're here. I really can't. You know, we're so thrilled that you're here. And that story I told you about people bringing their children to Jesus, you don't suppose they were silent children, do you? I don't think God ever made such a thing. We are so pleased you're here. And we're so thankful you've come, you and your children. So thank you for being part of this morning. Let's stand up and sing our closing hymn. And as we do so, we'll take up that offering. Thank you. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.